So a friend of mine, a new friend, was talking to me about Jesus and his exclusive clause. So I got a question. Is Jesus exclusive or is Jesus inclusive? You know, we often hear that Christianity is exclusive, that it's only for certain people. It's like this club. But is that really true? Or is Jesus actually the most inclusive? Now, we had our life group the other week, and we were talking about how big is God. And I said, is he that big? Is he that big? And across the room, every hand went out like that. He's that big and bigger. And God is inclusive. See how my hands, they're going all the way out and further because he's including everybody. It's a lie that Jesus is exclusive. The way to God is exclusive. There's one way and only one way. But thank God there's a way, and that way is Jesus. We talked about that before. We talked about that we don't need a set of goals or a destination. We need somebody to take our hand and walk with us. We need somebody to lead us. We need somebody to help us. Our renewal is a person, and that's what Easter's all about. Our renewal is not a set of goals. It's not a methodology. It's not even a discipline. It's a person, and that person is Jesus. You know, if you were to go up and climb Mount Everest, what would you rather have? A detailed map, I mean really detailed, that shows you every turn, everything, every tree, a perfect map, and it's easy to read that you can see through all the storms and everything else. Or would you want an experienced guide that's going to take you up that mountain, that's been up that mountain before, and you've been up that mountain 30, 40, 50 times, and he's come back every time. And he's brought everybody back safely every time. Would you rather have the map or the person? The guide. You want the experience. Jesus is our guide. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. He's our guide for every moment of every day. You know, we're going to talk about knowing Jesus today. And it just came out of my disciple-making group last Thursday. And it really struck me, and I had this conversation all the way home, 45 minutes, with this other friend of mine, about, do we really know Jesus? I said to him, you know, your wife, Marilyn, you know her, right? He said, yeah, we've been married for a few decades now. I said, you can tell me all about her, right? You can tell me all about her personality, her likes or dislikes. And I said, what can you tell me about Jesus? And he started talking to me about unconditional love, and he had a really good answer for me. But I think there's no ceiling here, okay? Of knowing Jesus. I mean, one way we know Jesus is through the Word, because it's all written, this entire book from cover to cover is all about Jesus. That's the entire subject from beginning to end. It tells us a whole lot of information about Jesus. But then there's also all these experiences. I can tell you so many people's stories. Woo, I can tell you some stories. I can tell you stories I have read. I read a lot of books. I can tell you all the stories in all those books, and I can tell you all the stories of all the ministers. I can tell you all my own personal stories. I can all that experience. And that's just my little limited viewpoints, my little limited experiences, and my little limited network of people. It's much larger. It's kind of like, how big is God? how big are the experiences? And then we have all those supernatural ones that have happened in times past that we have all recorded in here. Jesus, Easter, resurrection, renewal, it all fits together. You know what? This entire book fits together. It was written over 1,400 years by 40, 50 different authors, and it all coincides. It's amazing how much it coincides. It all fits together like a glove. You ever see all those footnotes as you read the word and you got that whole bunch of footnotes on the bottom? That's because all those footnotes are taking you back to the Old Testament that talk about the exact same thing, the exact same theme, the exact same idea, the very exact circumstances that was already predicted. But it's not just predictions, it's not just prophecies, and there's hundreds of those. But it's also geographically, all of it fits together like a glove, and there's no errors whatsoever. They can't find any errors in it, as a matter of fact. No geographical error, no philosophical error. Jesus is inclusive. I want to prove that today. You know, I went through a whole journey. I went through a whole journey. Did Jesus walk this planet? Now, you're not supposed to ask that question. Did Jesus walk this planet? I went through a journey for over 2 years to prove that Jesus was a physical being that was on this planet and did walk this planet. And I can tell you categorically, it's been proven out. As a matter of fact, I learned what it means to be an apologist. An apologist doesn't mean you're making an apology. It's not like I'm saying I'm sorry. An apologist means I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt what I'm talking about. I can prove, that rhymes a little bit, beyond a shadow of a doubt what I'm talking about. I tell you about Josh McDowell, who was an atheist, and he went to disprove that God does not exist. And so he's going to make it his thesis. And he's going to college, and he's got this whole thesis, and, you know, the professors let him go for it. But he kept running into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock of every one of his ideas. He kept finding the opposite. And Josh McDowell became one of the leading apologists ever. And he wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's the most boring book you've ever seen. It is nothing but bullet points and outlines of Roman numerals, the entire book. There's no narrative whatsoever in the entire book. It is like you're cramming for an exam and you've got all these bullet points and Roman numeral 1 and point A, B, C, D, and dash, 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 one-liner, 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 one-liner. And it's, you know, it's like 250 pages of this. But it's also the most fascinating thing you've ever read about the resurrection, about the proof. About Jesus walking this planet, about the proof. And I'll tell you, the final proof, and I get into all this stuff, and this is not where I was going to go, but I'm going to go there anyway, though, because this is where the Spirit's telling me to go. So, the final proof, for me, and I talked to a lot of people along the way, let me tell you, for 2 years, I talked to everybody I could. I was trying to get proof, I was trying to get experience, I was trying to get everything. But my final proof was, when I finally figured it out, I like to figure things out. But I finally figured it out that it was written within a lifetime. Now, that may not seem like a significant point, but it is. Because people were being tortured. Their families were being slaughtered. That's all facts. We have that as factual information, not from the Bible, from external sources, that this was happening. But the thing that was crazy is it was happening within a lifetime. It was happening within a period of 25 years, 20 years of when it was written down that all these people were eyewitnesses. It's like I said before, if somebody told you 9/11 didn't happen, but you saw it on TV, and you saw those planes hit that tower. I remember I was at TV20, and I was there with my guys, my workers, and we were watching it. I saw it. And then we saw all the clips and all the news and all the reports and all the people going back to church. Remember all that? Now, if I told you that didn't happen, what would you tell me? I'm crazy. You're wrong. I was there. I saw it. Well, that's what it is with the Word. It was written down within a couple decades. Praise be to God. Hey, he doesn't just leave it to blind faith. It's proven out. Jesus is inclusive. It says all over the place, I have come to seek the lost. That some of the lost, not a few, not a chosen one or two. I have come to seek all, whoever. These are the words that's all over the Word that's telling us that God is seeking out every one of his children. Everybody is all-inclusive. Let's get into it. John. John. I'm actually thinking about using this for Easter because John just goes so deep. John 14:5-14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus has just got done telling them that, hey, you're going to see me for a while and you're not going to see me anymore, but I'm preparing this place for you and you're going to be able to come here. I got this mansion and all this stuff and you're going to be able to come where I'm at. And mind you, this is right at the fitting for Easter, right at the Last Supper. And as he's getting ready to go over to the garden, as he's getting ready to be crucified, this is one of his last conversations with his followers and with his disciples. And Thomas, you know, Thomas is the guy, he's always asking, he's like me, Thomas, always asking questions. Hey, Lord, how do we know where to go? You got this place, these mansions, and you're talking in these riddles, and you're going to see me, and you're not going to see me, but I'll be here, and what's going on with all that? How do I know the way? You know, when the Christian movement started, it was called the Way? Because it was a group that understood that what there was a way to God. A way that wasn't talked about before. A new way. And that way is actually a person, and it's Jesus. Jesus is not only showing the way, Jesus is the way, and that's what Jesus is trying to help them understand, but they're not getting it completely yet. They will. Thomas said that, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how are we going to know the way? How are we going to follow you? Continuing. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, here's where it sounds a little exclusive, doesn't it? No one comes to the Father except through me. And many times you'll hear people say, well, Christianity is so exclusive. It's only for those. But see, the thing is that you can be part of those. It's all inclusive. Everybody is of those. Everybody can come to the Father. Thank God, God made a way to come back to him that we don't have to have a priest or something where we have to have a mediator or a guru or something. You know, we have all these different sources of trying to get back to God, and God made it so easy. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says, except through. I should have underlined that word. Through me. Not by my teachings, and not by what I told you, and not by a path, not a map up the mountain. Through me. Jesus is not only taking us by the hand and guiding us, he's actually helping us be part of him and walking up the mountain with us inside of him. and Him inside of us. That's what He's really talking about. He's talking about us being in Him. Isn't that what we talk about when we do communion? That we're communing with Jesus. We are communing with God. We are communing with the Holy Spirit. That we are communing with one another. I am the way. Hear these words. This is such an important verse. That's why I pretty much highlighted the whole thing. I was like, should I highlight that word or this word? It was like the whole thing. I am the way. I am the truth. Oh, we could talk about truth forever today. Well, we have this crazy idea these days that everybody has a different truth, and truth is relative, and you got your truth, and that's hooey. If we don't have any truth, we have no foundation. We have nothing to stand on anymore. Jesus is the truth, and He is the life. We talked about that at Christmas, as we had that baby in the cradle, that Jesus is not only giving us life, He is life. And He gives us that life. And no one comes to God the Father except through me. Continuing. Here it goes. Hang on to your seat for a minute. This is one of those ones that you got to think about a little bit. You got to ponder this a little. And I don't mean just today. I mean ongoing. I'm going to be thinking on this one for a while, probably for the rest of my life. If you really, I should have underlined really, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. So that's Jesus' reply. But it's posed in a question. If you really know me, so I got to ask you the question, do you really know Him? And I'm not just talking about a salvation issue of giving your life, of coming to the altar. I'm not talking about that. That's important. That's critical. I'm talking about, do you know Him? I want you to think about people in your life. I want you to think about your parents. I want you to think about your children. I want you to think about your siblings. I want you to think about your best friends. Do you know them? You know, we just got done talking about losing people. I'm always amazed that when I'm listening to eulogies, that I really didn't know that person. Have you ever had that experience? You hear this eulogy, and you find out all this information about this person that you never knew. And I sit there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow. They did that? Well, that would have been a really cool conversation to have with them. I think I can learn a thing or two from them. We could have had some great conversations about that matter. I didn't know they had all those kids. I didn't know they struggled like that. I didn't know they had that education. I didn't know they climbed Mount Everest. I want to know what it was like on top of the mountain when they got there. And if they're gone now, I didn't get to ask them. How much do we know Jesus? What would you like to ask Him if He appeared right now next? Mind you, He's there anyways. If He appeared right now next to you, what would you like to ask Him? I need like a day or two to prep myself. I think I need I need all the bullet points and then Roman numerals. I need a whole book. He would say, Tom, we don't have time for all that. So what would you like to ask Him? And let me tell you, you can ask Him now, and He will answer you now. Or maybe you want to know about God. What would you like to know about God? Or maybe like me, you've spent 2 years trying to discover the Holy Spirit, and how does that work? And what would you like to know about the Holy Spirit? Are you getting hungry yet? I hope you're getting a little spiritually hungry, because I am, just talking about it. I'm getting a little famished here. I want to know some more about Jesus. I want to know some more about God. I want to know some more about the Holy Spirit. But you see, I only need to know about one, and I'll know about all three. See, if you know me, you will know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is saying, if you saw me, you saw God. Plain and simple. Continuing. Philip said, now Philip chimes in, you know, you get 12 of them, so they're all going to chime in. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. See, they're still not getting it, are they? Show us, Lord, just show us the Father. You know, have him appear, or give us a film strip. They didn't have film strips yet. Give us a manifestation. Give us a vision. Help us here. And that'll be enough. But I will say one thing about Philip. Philip does have something going on here. He is on target. And I tell people this all the time. When you're in prayer, man, don't ask for yes and no answers. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to get anything. You're going to get confused. When I go in prayer and I ask for yes and no, this is what happens. Yes. I'm supposed to do that. Okay. No. You're not supposed to do that. Yes, you are. No. Yes. Go on, go make that call. Get ready. I'm ready to pick up the phone. No? Yes? No? Yes. I get nowhere fast. But if I ask God to show me, oh my goodness, a whole world of possibilities opens up. And all of a sudden circumstances start happening. And I start seeing signs and I start reading what's going on. Or else, you know, instead of me picking up the phone rings. And somebody's there and they talk to me. And it's exactly what I'm trying to find out. Or there's an article or something is coming into me. So Philip says, show me. He's got the right idea. He's got the wrong question because Jesus has already told him, you know, you look at me. Continuing. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? See, you notice that Jesus had to keep telling them the same thing over and over. Have you ever had to do that with anyone? I'm sure parents would get it. You know, how many times do you tell your kids the same thing over and over and over again? Finally, will you ever hear what I'm saying? Jesus is saying, I told you this, Philip. You walk with me, Philip. You know me, Philip. What kind of character do I show? You know, I've often wanted to just kind of run through the whole Bible and write down all the characteristics of Jesus. One of these days I'm going to write a book. I'm going to do that. I'm going to just write down all the characteristics of Jesus. I want you to think about that for a minute. What would be some of the characteristics of Jesus that you would come up with? I think I'd come up with compassion, how he wept. Not only just people over all of Jerusalem. I certainly would come up with love, a new definition of love. I would come up with caring. He cared for people beyond belief. Have you seen me? Do you know me? Continuing. Don't you believe? What is it so powerful? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus is trying to unravel the mystery. He's trying to give them the answer to the question. He's trying to put together the puzzle for them. That he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. That when you see him, you see the Father, because the Father is in him. He's trying to help them understand. But this is really a hard concept, isn't it? And even today, even this minute, I bet you're struggling a little. I bet your mind is going a little bit, thinking about how can this be? And like it being a little bit of a Nicodemus here, like how do I get born again? How is it that I could be in God? me and the Holy Spirit in me, and me and the Holy Spirit and Jesus in me. See, I often struggled about, like, okay, do I get Jesus in me? Or do I get God in me? Or do I get the Holy Spirit? 1 second, David. Or do I get the Holy Spirit in me? Which one is it? You get all three because it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? So it's really quite simple. We overcomplicate it. God is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus is in me. And they work together in unison. If you read the Word, you can see how much they're working in unison together. God the Father, Jesus says, is living. It's not just that He's in me, He's living in me. Continuing. Believe me, when I say that I am in the Father, Jesus is still trying to convince them. And the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. That's that Josh McDowell thing, that's that evidence that demands a burden. What are some of the evidences that God is in Jesus, that Jesus is in God? Because Jesus has the character of God. He's all-loving. He's got that all-powerful while He was here on earth. See, we get messed up with that thing, too. The baby thing. Okay, the baby thing, and the baby's in the cradle, and Jesus is a human being walking around for 33 years. That kind of throws us a little bit, because we've got to get back over to Colossians and realize, and back to the Gospel of John at the very beginning, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word created everything, and everything was created through Jesus, that He was long before the baby in the cradle, Jesus existed. That's the real Jesus. Do you know me? That's just me that walked around for 33 years. Not me that was crucified. Do you know me that was glorified? We're coming into Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection. Do you know me? You know, Paul talks about knowing the simple things. He calls it milk. And it's the things like salvation and glorification and how the Holy Spirit works. I mean, and I look at it like, these are the simple things? I don't know what the more difficult things are, because these simple things are pretty complex. Continuing.
What makes Jesus the Son and the Father is the same God?
I'll talk in a little bit, David. You got it, Mary? I got it. Very truly, I tell you, whatever you ask in my name, and I will do whatever you ask in very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus just keeps unraveling this mystery, and He keeps going deeper. He says that you will do greater things than me. How can that be? How can we do greater things than what Jesus Himself can do? And I'll tell you, there's one word for that. It's called exponential. Exponential. Exponential, I talk to my disciple makers all the time. That means that if I pour into three people, who pour into three people, who pour into three people, if that happens 21 times, that's 10.8 billion people. That's as many people on the planet. See, Jesus can reach so many people. If He was here right now and He was talking to all of us, He could reach everybody in this room. But when He starts moving through the people, that's why He's in us. He can do greater things with all of us than He can just on His own. We are important, is what that means. We are vital to the mission. It is critical for us to walk with Him, to be with Him. Jesus continues, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow, what a promise. I will do whatever you ask in my name. In my name. In the name of Jesus. Isn't that, in the name of Jesus, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but in the name of Jesus, pick up your mat and walk. That's what Peter said. In the name of Jesus, that Peter's shadow is coming on somebody and they're healed. In the name of Jesus, 100% healing, 100% restoration. I will not stop until my dying day. 100% healing, 100% restoration. Not until that person passes away, not until the end is here, which is really only the beginning, right? It's only the beginning. Because there is no end, there is eternity, and eternity is eternity. And I will do whatever you ask. And mind you, there's other verses that says you can't get into all asking for all what you want. You can't be selfish about this. God is going to look, Jesus is going to look at your motives. What are you looking at? Why are you asking? Is it for you? Or is it for somebody else? Is it about somebody coming to God? Because that is the God's will. I read this thing one time. I won't detract for too long, but I read this thing that God won't do anything unless somebody prays. And I rejected that idea outright. I said, no. God's all powerful. He can do anything he wants. And then I went back to it 6 months later. I really thought about it. I really delved into it. Because what they were talking about is that God has this partnership with us. And he's using us. And see, the secret of prayer. You know what the secret of prayer is? The secret of prayer is asking for the right thing. See, the secret of prayer is that you ask God what to pray for, and then you pray. The secret of prayer is you cross-check what you're asking for to see if that's in his will. Because God will do whatever is in his will. So we need to pray and ask God, what is your will in this? Remember that show me thing instead of the yes, no thing? Am I supposed to do this yes, no? That's not asking God's will. Show me starts revealing what his will is. So our first prayer should always be, hey, God, is this what you want me to pray for? And then he will do whatever he shows us. So that he is glorified. Jesus says, you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So what do we do with all this? We've talked about a lot of different things. We follow the inclusive way. And what is the inclusive way? Jesus. We follow Jesus. But don't be fooled by the things that people tell you that it's exclusive. It's not. Jesus is the most inclusive. He includes everybody. Everybody has a shot at this. Everybody, God wants everybody back with him. It is to whoever. It is to all. Follow the inclusive way. Follow the Jesus way. And as we go into Easter, include some people. Include them in your conversation. Include them into the service. Include them into your life. Include them into that. You know, Mary is great at this. Have you ever been where you're sitting there with a whole group of people and there's circle forms and there's like four or five people and there's a circle and then there's one person over here who's not in this. Have you ever been the person outside the circle? Have you ever been the people in the circle and then you see the person outside the circle? Well, I love this about Mary. Mary will... Man, she's got this radar vision thing going on. I don't care if that person's way out there or in the back. She'll see that they're there. And she'll sit there and she'll just open this circle up and say, hey. Or walk over and say, hey, come on in. Be included in what we're talking about. And let me fill you in with what we're... Jesus is like that. He includes everybody. He opens up the circle and he asks us to have an awareness, to open up that circle, to be inclusive. And we're going to follow Jesus. We are going to be inclusive. And so this Easter, be inclusive. Second part of our assignment. This one's going to be a lot of fun. And this one's going to be a lot of work. So I want you to take your phone, take a piece of paper, Take a little notebook, take a journal. I don't care what you use as a method, but I want you to write down, how do you know Jesus? I want you to write down his characteristics that you know about. I want you to write down some of your experience. I want you to answer the question is, how do you know Jesus? So if I was a total stranger and you're telling me about Jesus, and now that's all fine and dandy, Debbie, but how do you know Jesus? I want you to answer that question. And I want you to do it in a way that somebody who does not know Jesus can understand from your experience that he is real, that he is the way. You can use scripture if you want, but I would say use experience. So, and I think that this exercise will behoove you, and it would challenge you a little bit. I had a guy in my disciple making, he's a pastor, by the way, he says, "You're challenging me, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm challenging you." He said, "Yeah, okay, I'll take that challenge." So this is your challenge. Write down, how do you know Jesus? Let me tell you, there's no ceiling to this. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. For Jesus. We thank you as we pray about Beverly and she's with you, that she knows the way. We thank you for every one of our loved ones who's already found you, that they will have the way. We thank you for those who don't know you yet, that they can be with the way. We thank you that it is whoever, it is all, that you are all your children, that you reject no one, you accept everyone, and your heart is broken when they reject you. Help us to take that in. Help us to fix that a little bit. I'm a fixer. We thank you, dear Father God, for your grace, your mercy, and your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pastor Tom, could you go back by the video?
Even in this stanza, a mystery is unraveled. The way to see Jesus is holiness. And holiness is not being perfect. Holiness is being set apart. We are already there. All we have to do is tap into what we already are. And we will see Jesus. We have to have that expectation that we talked about. We have to have that want, that need. We have to open up our eyes. We sang about all these things. We have to see the manifestation that is already there. And not just here today in this church, but all this week. Every day, I always talk about 5 minutes or more every day in concentrated prayer. We will see Jesus in our concentrated prayer. We talked about being in the Word. We will see Jesus as we read the Word. We talk about our experiences. We will see Jesus in our, we'll even see Jesus on the billboard of the freeway. We will see Jesus everywhere because He is everywhere. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that Jesus is not only inclusive of all the people, He is inclusive of everything around us. Everything speaks of Him. Everything we see, every tree, every flower, every star, every planet, every insect, everything speaks of Jesus. We can see Jesus in everything. And everything that we see reminds us of all creation that He created. So dear Father God, may we plug into that reality now. May we have that manifestation in our heart, our mind, and our very soul. May we see you as we see Jesus, as we see the Holy Spirit. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. May we know Him. God bless you.